Hallelujah. When is the last time that you took the time to count your blessings? When is the last time that you took the time to count your blessings? I want us to talk about that today. His name was Johnson Oatman, Jr. And in 1897, 1 year after the building downtown was built, Johnson wrote a song based on 1 Thessalonians 5:18. His song is somewhere around here. By the way, the first that I learned a song a long time ago, because in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in the English Standard Version, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks in all. And Johnson Oatman, I think he was probably looking at, I'll get to what he did in a minute, but I think he was looking at Psalm 136. I'm going to read a verse, and then I want you to say something, and we'll just do, now we'll do the whole psalm, but we'll just have a little call response here, okay? I'm going to say, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, and you say, for His steadfast love endures forever. Say that. For His
steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. And this will, if you could endure this, we would do this, and you would have to endure this forever, really. This psalm is very long. But let me go ahead and give you some highlights. For His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, to Him who by understanding made the heavens, to Him who spread out the earth and the waters, to Him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night. And between each of those phrases, you have His steadfast love endures forever. The first section of it, we have them expressing gratitude for creation. Then it says, to Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and outstretched arm, for those when He divided the Red Sea, made Israel to pass through the midst of it, over through the Pharaoh and the host of the Red Sea, to Him He led His people through the wilderness, and each time the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Now they're recounting the times of deliverance. They're counting blessings. They're counting the blessings of the Lord and going and saying, He overthrew the Pharaoh. And it says, then it says, He struck, when they moved into the new place, it says He took out the mighty kings that were in their midst, and they enumerate them. And then gets down to that He gave us a land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. Heritage to Israel, His servant. It is He who remembered us in our lowest state, rescued us from our foes. He gives us food to all flesh. It says, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. And he was counting the blessings. I believe this might have been one of the psalms. That's Psalm 136. I believe this is probably one of the psalms that inspired Johnson Oatman, Jr. in 1897 to write the song, Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now listen to this. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you'll keep singing as the days go by. There's a power in the enumerating of the blessings of the Lord. When you look at others with their lands of gold and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Wealth can never buy your reward in heaven, nor your home in high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all. count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. The discipline of gratitude and thanksgiving. In Luke 17, verse 11 through 19, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Listen, guys, were not there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." I'm here today to tell you that Jesus notices thanksgiving, that he has his eye on the thankful heart. I wonder how many healings have been lost because of a lack of gratitude, as if we deserve the blessings of the Lord. But we can lay hold in faith. And here was this one, this foreigner, this Samaritan who came back. He wasn't in covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. And he came back and fell on his face and thanked Jesus. And Jesus noticed the lack of thanksgiving. I wonder if he notices the lack of thanksgiving in any of our lives today. Paul notices the lack of thanksgiving. I'm going to read the whole passage. But 2 Timothy 3:1-5, he sets it up, says, "Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." Times of difficulty. And there people will be. And then he starts naming all these things. You know what one of the thoughts is? Ungrateful. Ungrateful. Are you thankful? In the Old Testament, when Moses was, had they come into the Promised Land, they were recounting the story, and they basically said, "You guys asked me, and we got picked someone from each tribe, and we sent them out, and they came back with a report, and you rebelled against God, and you wouldn't go in, and you," I say murmur. Murmur is one of the most unoriginal words. It just repeats itself. Murmur. You know, you can complain because a complaint can be a good thing. I have a complaint about this machine. It's not working. It means it's complaint. The word complaint doesn't always wrap a bad attitude around it. Murmur. Murmur, grumble, gripe. That's the opposite of a spirit of gratefulness. When you have the murmuring, we're in our tents murmuring, "God brought us out here to destroy us." And it's the promised land where they would be blessed and prospered. But now, instead of thanking God, they turned and started complaining. How many of you need this message just a little bit today? Let's just go ahead and determine in our hearts. We're going to count our blessings all week. We'll make a new set. Oh, there you go. We're going to look through these holes. No, all week. Look through the eye of faith and count the blessings. What's in there? I'm going to fill it up with salt. No. Count your blessings. There you go. Count blessings. Count blessings. Think in terms of counting your blessings. This is a term to use for thanksgiving. Number one, thanksgiving is plain good manners. Plain good manners. That's why it's good to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And there's a benefit. I have it on your paper there. I wanted everybody to see the benefit. Benefit to you is that expressing genuine, heartfelt thankfulness. And I framed it up that way because it's genuine and it's heartfelt. It's an authentic, it's a genuine, let me go over here. It's a genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving. It's a genuine. You can feel a genuine, heartfelt attitude of things. It affects the atmosphere. It's a genuine, heartfelt thanks. That's what we're looking at when we're saying, let's count our blessings. Let's think in terms of those things that we genuinely are grateful for. Genuine. We've been in the study of Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." I love when, whenever, like if you, whenever I do something for, say, a little person, you know they've been trained well when they go, "Thank you." Is anybody's hearts ever go, "Oh, please, thank you." And, but tell the person next to you, thankfulness is just good plain manners. Plain good manners. Plain good old plain manners. Plain good old manners. Number two, thankfulness is the protocol of entry into God's presence. The protocol of entry into God's presence. The benefit to you is that expressing genuine heartfelt thankfulness, it guards your heart from descending into mere meaningless religious ritual. And that is a big deal to God. That is a big deal to God. Having a genuine, heartfelt, thankful spirit is so important to God that there's a whole psalm dedicated to that one thing. Psalm 50. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, He does not keep silence before Him. He is a devouring fire. Around Him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to Me the faithful ones who made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. The heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Selah. And we establish on the first portion, okay, He's coming, and now let's see what's important to the judge. What is He going to judge? And He says, "Hear, O people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before Me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is Mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills, for I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is Mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world in its fullness are Mine." Verse 14, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving." How many of you know that you can, in the Old Testament days, they could bring animal after animal, and God says, my judgment is not about you always bringing those. In fact, I don't need those. What I really need is a sacrifice of thanksgiving from your heart. What I need is that you really, that it matters to you that I'm here. How many of you gone through religious stuff? Without a spirit of thanksgiving, your whole Christian life can degenerate and descend into mere meaningless religious ritual and be dead to you and to everybody around you. Because of a lack of genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving. Because you never count your blessings. Counting and reciting blessings before the Lord transforms your life. It's the entry point. It's amazing what that entry point. Now watch what he says. He says, "Now let me go ahead and tell you. I offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon the name." He says, "And call upon Me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you." It's not all this other stuff that you do. It's the spirit of thanksgiving. You call upon Me in the day of trouble. You got a spirit of thanksgiving. I'm coming. But to the wicked, God says, "What right have you to recite My statutes or take my covenant with your lips. For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you're pleased with him. If you keep company with adulterers, you give your mouth free to rain for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent, and you thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and let there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 50. The whole thing is God the judge coming, and what is he judging? The lack of thanksgiving in the heart of his people. He says, you want to enter my presence and see all my goodness, and I'll show up in the day that you need me? Be thankful. The protocol into God's presence is gratitude and a thankful heart. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts, and into his courts with praise. And that word is Tawdah. I have a definition there, Towdah. Thanks and praise for what God is going to do. It's like a processional of worshipers coming in and thanking him in advance for all he's going to do. Dads know, if you have a daughter and she comes and thanks you for what you're going to do, you end up somehow doing it. It's the protocol into the presence of those you honor. I want to thank you for what you're going to do for me. And God loves it because it's the genuine, heartfelt gift to God that says, I believe in you and you can do anything and everything. And I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for all of your creation. And I thank you for all the times you've delivered me. And I thank you for all of your provision, for the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Will you be the one out of 10 that comes before the Lord and says, I will be the one that thanks you. I haven't been in the ranks of the believers, but I'm coming in now. And I'm coming to say that I thank you for all that you've done. The healing graces in my life, I'm counting the blessings. Changes you. It radically changes you. When you have a spirit of thanksgiving, it opens up doors. And I'll tell you exactly what it does too. By the way, Isaiah 29:13. This is the essence of it. Because the people draw near me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips and their hearts are far from me. That's why thanksgiving has to do with a genuine heartfelt. It's not just words. It's a heartfelt expression. It changes everything. Shifts everything around. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And let me tell you, when it comes to the sacrifice of praise, the word sacrifice means to kill or slaughter with a purpose. And this is what you're killing or slaughtering. And there's three things. Ready? You're going to kill and slaughter your pride. You're going to kill and slaughter your fear. And you're going to kill and slaughter your sloth. Those are the three things that get in the way of thanksgiving. Well, I did it myself. Pride. Well, I don't think God will come through. Fear. Well, I just am an apathetic jerk. Sloth. Says, what was it? Was it ignorance or apathy that stopped them? I don't know, and I don't care. Anybody still here? Look, somebody say, plain good manners. Protocol to enter his presence. Thanksgiving is also spiritual warfare. The benefit to you is that expressing genuine heartfelt thankfulness can give an entry point for God to bring his victory in your behalf. A long time ago, I wasn't there, but they wrote it down so I could visit passage. And if you're listening today, I want you to know that there's a whole Bible full of good stuff. And there's a God who rules over all things. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the covenant-making God, and He's come to make covenant with you and me through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He started a long time ago in raising up a people that would bring the seed of His Son into the day that we live, so that that seed could come and die on the cross and crush the powers of darkness in our behalf. But He showed forth His glory to His chosen people. And one of those guys was a king, and his name was Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles 20, was in a pickle. Have you ever been in a pickle? Have you ever been overwhelmed? Way out of your league. This is what happened. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them, the otherites and all the otherites. And some of them came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you. And then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Have you been afraid when you've been overwhelmed? And set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. And all the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Everybody was afraid of being destroyed. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And this is what Jehoshaphat prayed. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, the judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, and for your name is in this house, and we cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Mount Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of our possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel. Somebody in the group. Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm and hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And you know what they did. They got the choir together. And you know what they sang? Give thanks. Come on now. Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. You want a warfare song on your lips? Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. It doesn't matter what you're going through, however warm you are. Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. Things are not going your way. Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures. Come on, let's say it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. It doesn't matter what's facing you down. You stand up and face it down and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. And then work it up a little bit more. Yeah. I'm working the thanksgiving all the way up. I'm giving thanks to the Lord. Come on, say, I'm giving thanks for His steadfast love endures forever. And I'm in there somewhere. Verse 22, And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made their end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. All the while, we're just singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." And demons are banging heads. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." Satan is shaking in his boots because he fears the Lord. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." And the Spirit of God moves into your house now, and the spirit of fear moves out of your house. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." And everything that was all confused is all gone now, because hell is afraid of those who give thanks, because it's a warfare and it breaks the power of hell. Yes. "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody tell me, Thanksgiving is a warfare. There's five that kind of work in your arsenal. There's the name of Jesus. That's in the arsenal. There's the blood of Jesus. That's in the arsenal. There's the quoting of the Word of God. That's in the arsenal. There's praying in tongues. That's in the arsenal. And there's the spirit of thanksgiving. You give them the old fivefold. Hallelujah. The spirit of thanksgiving routs the adversary. The spirit of thanksgiving routs the adversary. Today, I want to count my blessings. I woke up this morning and I got to thinking about, I would like to enumerate a few and maybe inspire you to think this way as we get our little memento here and begin to count the blessings. Today, I want to give thanks to God. First, I give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent Jesus to die and pay for this debt of my sin, in order for me to be made right with Him and have assurance that I have eternal life. When I come to the end of this life, I will enter into everlasting life with Him. And the deepest longings of my heart will be fulfilled. I want to thank God for the Holy Spirit, who brought the revelation of Jesus Christ to me and has given me a capacity to help people by partnering with Him and bring in the truth of God's love to those who are without Him and who are broken and need help. I want to thank God for my wife, Heather, for 35 years, who has stuck with me and walked this life of faith in Christ through valleys and over mountains. I'm thankful for her integrity and heart for the Lord and her deep love for me. If anyone has had to have faith in our family, it's my precious wife, who has followed me in responding to the call of God on our lives. I'm thankful for our daughter, Emmy, and our son in love, Nick, and their unwavering commitment to Jesus Christ and their deep love for us. Of course, I'm thankful for our grandchildren, little tenacious Evie, who we believe and declare will serve the Lord all the days of her life with the same tenacity she lives every day. And we are thankful for our little grandson, Titus, who we believe God has brought into our care to help him fulfill his call in loving and serving God all of his life. I'm very thankful for the love and support of our church family, all of you who love us and love the Lord, value the Lord and His ways, and because you embrace the vision that God has given us in bringing the hope of Jesus to our community, to walk with you in like precious faith, honoring Jesus and loving one another the way He's shown us, is the great joy of my life. I'm thankful for my extended family, my brother and his family, my sister and her family that walk and love Jesus, walk with Jesus. And I'm really thankful that my mother and father are in heaven right now, awaiting my entrance into eternal life. I'm so grateful for all the people that he has allowed us to minister to in his name. But lastly, and this is a little different, I want to thank God for the damage I received as a child and how the Lord pursued me to bring me complete healing so that I could receive his anointing and bring the same kind of healing to all that he brings me. I appreciate everything that went wrong with all my heart. Because the Lord has turned it into some good manners. He's turned it into a way that I understand his goodness, that I can enter his presence at will and cast down those things that want to haunt and hurt, tempt and destroy people and help them get clarity. Amen. Let's praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, I will count my blessings in the Lord. Amen.